Charles Spurgeon Part 11. He has the medicine, he is too lazy to go and tell forth the remedy. He has the cure, and is too idle to go out and administer it to the sick and the dying. No, my friends, such an inhuman wretch could not exist. But I can see him here today. There are you. You know the world is sick with the plague of sin, and you yourself have been cured by the remedy which has been provided. You are asleep, inactive, loitering. You do not go forth to tell to others round what a dear Savior you have found. And there are you, professing to be a Christian, and doing nothing which might make you the instrument of saving souls, never putting out your hand to be the means in the hand of the Lord, of plucking sinners as brands from the burning. Oh! May the blessing of God rest on you, to turn you from such an evil way, that you may not sleep as do others, but may watch and be sober. The world's imminent danger demands that we should be active and not be slumbering. If you should find a perfect minister, then might the praise and honor of his usefulness accrue to man. But God is frequently pleased to select for eminent usefulness men evidently honest and sincere, but who have some manifest infirmity by which all the glory is cast off from them and laid upon himself, and upon himself alone. Let it never be supposed that we who are God's ministers either excuse our faults or pretend to perfection. We labor to walk in holiness, but we cannot claim to be all that we wish to be. We do not base the claims of God's truth upon the spotlessness of our characters, but upon the fact that it comes from Him. You have believed in spite of our infirmities, and not because of our virtues. If, indeed, you had believed our word because of our supposed perfection, your faith would stand in the excellency of man and not in the power of God, who rebuked scribes and Pharisees for regarding outward rites as more important than inward grace. Facts all show that whatever good there may be in baptism, it certainly does not make a man a member of Christ, the child of God, and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven, or else many thieves, whoremongers, drunkards, fornicators, and murderers are members of Christ, the children of God, and inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. Facts, brethren, are against this popish doctrine, and facts are stubborn things. Among dissenters you see a veneration for structures, a modified belief in the sacredness of places, which is idolatry, for to believe in the sacredness of anything but of God and of His own word is to idolize, whether it is to believe in the sacredness of the men, the priests, or in the sacredness of the bricks and mortar, or of the fine linen, or what not, which you may use in the worship of God. Here is the essence and soul of popery, peeping up under the garb of a decent respect for sacred things. It is impossible but that the Church of Rome must spread, when we who are the watchdogs of the fold are silent, and others are gently and smoothly turfing the road, and making it as soft and smooth as possible, that converts may travel down to the nethermost hell of popery. How can any man ask God for mercy while he abides in his sin? Repentance is a plant that never grows on nature's dunghill. The nature must be changed, and repentance must be implanted by the Holy Spirit, or it will never flourish in our hearts. Silence is sin when salvation is the theme. No faithful minister who knows what faith means looks to the sinner for power to believe, or looks to himself for power, but he looks to the Master that sent him for power, and in the name of Christ he says to the withered hand, "Be stretched out," and he says to the dead, "Come forth," and he does not speak in vain. Oh, yes, it is in Christ's name that we fulfill our office. We are miracle workers. He endows us with His power if in faith we tell out His gospel. See ye to it, then, that ye walk according to the word of God, and that ye test everything by it. If yours is a true, genuine, thorough conversion, I do not say that you are to go up and down the street crying out that you are converted, but on due occasions you must not hide your convictions. I have even heard some who call themselves Christians speak slightingly of the Jewish people. What? And your Lord and Master a Jew? There is no race on earth so exalted as they are. They are the seed of Abraham, God's friend. We have nobles and dukes in England, but how far could they trace their pedigree? Why, up to a nobody. But the poorest Jew on earth is descended linearly from Jacob, and Isaac, and Abraham. The devil knows you, dear friend, better than you know yourself. You see, he has been longer in the world than you have, and he knows a great deal more about human nature than you do, and so he comes to you, and he reckons you up pretty accurately, and says, "This brother would be very useful in a certain sphere of labor, and I must keep him from it." So he tells the brother that he is not called to it, and that it is not the sort of thing for him, and so on, and then he says to himself, "I have turned aside one foe from harming my cause." Oh, my dear friend, if you were an archangel, it would be worth while for you to work 1,000 years to bring one soul to Christ. When he swears that he does not believe a word of what you say, do not believe a word of what he says, for often the man who openly objects secretly believes. Just as boys whistle when they go through a churchyard in order to keep their courage up, so many a blasphemer is profane in order to silence his conscience. There is a sweet morning concerning my past sin which I would never wish to lose. It is forgiven, every sin of mine is blotted out, and my soul, therefore, with a sweet bitterness, would mourn over it more and more. They have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have not entered into his word so as to be prepared to believe all that he teaches, and, consequently, when some doctrine is heard which grates upon their feelings, or jars on their judgments, or conflicts with their original conceptions, straightway they grow angry with their Savior. After all, it would seem, from the criticisms which you offer, that you know better than the Son of God. Your judgment would seem to be clearer than his, for you sit in judgment upon his word. I serve a good master. Trust him, give your hearts up to him, and if you have spoken against his people, or rebelled against his love, he is willing to receive you. He has no hard word to say to returning ones. Come to him, come and welcome. Come just now, and the Lord receive you, for his mercy's sake. Amen. Many men of old lived in deserts, never coming into the cities, wandering about alone, praying in caves and forests, and thinking they were contaminated, and rendered impure if once they mingled with mankind. So have we among the Roman Catholics, persons who act the part of hermits, living far from the common haunts of men, and conceiving that by so doing they shall abundantly serve God. There are also certain orders of monks and nuns who live almost alone, seeing only their fellows, and fancying that by seclusion they are putting honor upon God, and winning salvation for themselves. Now it is too late in the day for any of us to speak against monasticism. It has demonstrated its own fallacy. It was found that some of those men who had separated from society were guilty of more vile and vicious practices, and sinned more grossly than men who were in the world.